intoxicating and attractive, appeared to be very much satisfied. He had a smiling face decorated with an enchanting reddish hue. He was dressed in yellow robes and wore earrings and a helmet on his head. He had four hands, and his chest was marked with the lines of the goddess of fortune. So, this is the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. In the spiritual sky, there are two regions, generally. One region is called Vaikuntha, and the other region is Golok. Vaikuntha is, the word Vaikuntha literally means the place where there is no anxiety. Kuntha means anxiety, and Bigata Kuntha, where there is no anxiety, that is Vaikuntha. And Golok means the region, Loka means the planet or the region of cows, or another meaning of go is senses. So is the region of the senses. Very senses there have a very special function. The senses there are being constantly nourished and enlivened by the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that region is the region of the Lord's Leela, the Lord's pastimes. That the Lord enacts in Vrindavan region, in Golok, the Lord enacts his very special pastimes. And with very unusual pastimes. Who is talking there? Tell them not to. So, very special activity there. The Lord has very special activity. Like, even if we look at Him in that region, what does He do? He's performing His past. He is acting as a cowherd boy. Who will believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Creator, the Supreme Maintainer, is a cowherd boy? Who can actually relate to that? The Lord is a cowherd boy. Why is that? Generally, the moment we think of God, the general tendency is to think the person who has created everything must be extremely powerful. He must be extremely influential individual. Unless and until one is extremely powerful, how can he create such things? And that personality naturally must be like a king. And not only the king, he is the king of kings. And the moment we think of a king, we think of opulence. King's palace. The greater the king, the more opulent is his palace. Like when you go to countries like England and France, we can see the palaces of the kings. Inconceivably opulent. We see the old palaces of the German Tudors, Swiss, even in Switzerland, Austria, huge, enormous palaces. And we can well imagine how opulent they must have been. Unfortunately, the Indian kings, who are extremely powerful and extremely opulent, their palaces have been destroyed. And they were so long ago, there is hardly any trace of their palaces, whereas the European kings are more recent. Europe flourished recently due to colonialism. Otherwise, the Europeans were barbarians. They were not so opulent. Their opulence came after they extended their colonies in different parts of the world, collected, stole the wealth of other countries, and they enriched themselves. But anyway, we can see that as they became more powerful, more opulent became their palaces. More opulent became their surroundings. Like when they were just in their own territory, they were more like tribal leaders, semi-barbarian. They used to wear skin, animal skin. They didn't even have the art of making, weaving clothes and things. That all those they adopted from later on, much later on, when they extended their colonies to different, especially when they came to India and China. They collected the opulence from there, the silk and other things. But otherwise they were barbarians. We can see how barbarian they were. In France, the the big palace, the big palace of the king did not have a single toilet. There were hundreds of rooms. Versailles, but no palace, no toilet. So one can well imagine what was the standard of living. They didn't take bath. There was no bathroom. They didn't have any bathroom and toilet. They became powerful only during the time age of Kali. Later part of the Kali also, about 1,000-1,500 years ago, they started to become powerful. Rome and Greece had some civilization, but that Greek civilization traces back, about 2,500. Roman civilization also, about 2,500 years ago. And that's why when in the West people hear 5,000 years, they think. But in India, we have the understanding. What is our understanding in India? The time moves in cycle. Time moves in cycle. Like after the day, the night comes, and after the night, the day comes. So it moves on in cycle. So time is moving on since eternity. So what is 2,000, 3,000, even hundreds of thousand years according to that calculation? But because they are not very civilized, they cannot trace back very far, and their tendency naturally is to judge everything from their calculation. And the tendency was like when they established their domination over the world, they did not want to give any recognition to other civilizations, especially India. Because they could see that Indian civilization is so old, they make a very systematic effort to undermine India's culture and civilization. They would not give any recognition to Indian civilization. Actually, the people, those who are considered to be big Indologists, they were actually appointed people to to undermine Indian culture. I remember when I was young, I used to consider that Max Müller was a very great Indologist, and he was so fond of Indian culture. Yes, he studied Sanskrit. He was actually a German, but he was appointed by the English. He was appointed by the English to undermine Indian culture. And later on, when I didn't read much of him, but whatever little I could read, I saw that it was a very systematic effort to undermine Indian culture. They tried to portray that India was a semi-barbaric country. Actually, what they were, they're trying to portray India in that way. And was a semi-barbaric country. Actually, what they were, they're trying to portray India in that way. And for example, another very recent, a painful observation that I made recently was, you see, Varaha Mihir was a great astrologer. He is probably the greatest astrologer that the world has ever seen. And he was one of the 9 gems of King Vikramaditya's court. And now there is a very systematic but silly effort to portray Varaha Mihir as an Iranian. He is in Vikramaditya's court, his name is typically Indian, but they are trying to portray him as an Iranian. Why? Because they didn't want to give the credit to India. As if Varaha Mihir brought the science of astrology to India from Iran. So they would give the credit to Iran. Why? It is further west from India. Civilization came from the west, not civilization dawned in India and spread over the world. Actually, civilization was not dawning at any place as such. It dawned in the entire planet. And in the early days, the whole of India was, the whole of Earth planet was known as India, Bharatvarsha. It's only recently that the world became divided and became something other than in Bharatvarsha. But at the beginning, this planet was known as Ilabritavarsha, and then after the name of the king Bharat, it became named as Bharatvarsha. This was the name of the planet. Just as we say sun planet, moon planet, similarly the earth planet was known as Bharatvarsha. So the West actually was in a very pathetic stage and is still in a very pathetic stage. But unfortunately, the whole world is dominated by the Western influence, which is extremely materialistic. And that's why the whole planet has become so miserable today, because of the Western influence. And because of the Western influence, the materialism spread, the intense materialistic endeavor, intense materialistic attitude has spread all over the world. And there is an acute shortage of spiritual culture. And that's where the whole world is suffering. Just as if there is an acute shortage of money, then what will happen? People will starve. Similarly, when there is an acute shortage of spiritual understanding, people have become miserable. People have become extremely miserable in today's world. Why? Because Indian culture is undermined. And the pathetic thing is, the unfortunate thing is, that the British bewildered the Indians in such a way that the Indians had started to undermine the Indian culture. They use the Indians to undermine the Indian culture in India. Nowadays we come across books. It's so pathetic, it's so painful, you know, to see what they're writing in those books. Simply there, I'm talking about, these are the books on history and historical supposed to be historical informations. Just like recently I was reading one book, I was actually trying to get more information about this place and King Vikramaditya and and the nine jewels of Vikramaditya's court, Navaratna. And